Check, motherfucker. Check, motherfucker. Check.
1, 2, 1, 2.
Take that bullshit. Yeah. Turn it into good shit. Take that bullshit. Yeah. Turn it into good shit. Take that bullshit. Yeah. Turn it into good shit. Take that bullshit. Yeah. Turn it into good shit.
Welcome back to That Stupid Fantasy Football Show. I'm Tim, here today with Adam. What's up, Adam?
Hello.
How's it going?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great as well.
That's awesome.
Yeah, July 24th, 2022. We're basically in fantasy football season.
I mean, I'm in it.
I mean, I've never left it personally.
Yeah. I mean, I really haven't gotten to my commissioner duties as of yet. Like, I need to change the schedule. Right. So like everybody plays the right people. Mm-hmm. I haven't done that yet. And like, okay. I feel like I was panicking a little bit because I hadn't done it. And then I looked and it said like 39 days left to draft. I was like, I got plenty of time, but I should probably do it.
Yeah, I should probably do
and
that.
And I feel like we should also figure out the draft picks, because I don't think everybody has all their draft picks.
Oh, okay.
In terms of
Okay. The ones that were presented in that thread
I'm glad we're starting the show off about getting into very specifics about our league.
Very specific. Yeah, the ones that were mentioned in that text thread were processed, but I don't know about any other trades.
Maybe I didn't get mine, I think. I don't think I got Kirshner's fifth rounder.
Oh, okay. You can do it, Kamish.
That's what I'm saying. I haven't done all that stuff.
Yeah, but pop that through.
I've been definitely paying attention to what's going on in the league and, you know, who I'm getting excited about drafting.
Well, the good news is training camps open on Tuesday for most teams.
Yeah.
And we're about to get a plethora of news next week. And then all of a sudden, before we know it, the Hall of Fame game is going to be here and everyone's going to ignore it. And then the following week, there's going to be week one of preseason, everyone's going to ignore it. But either way, we're there and we're going to get news. We're going to hear about depth charts. We're going to see some action. That's going to be fun. I can't wait. I'm here. I'm here. I'm ready for it. You?
Yeah. No, I mean, you seem a little bit more ready than I am. A little bit more like passionate about it. I mean, I'm excited.
Jesus.
You just got me excited about it.
Oh, good.
Like now I'm going to go do the schedule maybe.
All right. Perfect. Yeah. This is exciting.
It is exciting.
I'm pumped. The draft is coming up only about a month away, maybe 5 weeks away.
I think maybe that's when I start getting into full fantasy mode. Like once it hits August.
Yep.
Yeah. Exactly. And well, you know, because training camp starts, you start to hear about how people are performing, you start to get excited about guys, you know, that you're excited to draft and, you know, or your keepers, you know, whatever. It's exciting. And then preseason happens and then, you know, who knows what can happen?
People get injured. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
I promise.
I hate that.
Yeah. Well, here we are. What values have you seen out there? I know we did a mock draft, I think, the last time we recorded. But have you seen any spectacular values that you're all like, oh, give me some of that person right there?
I think in our league, just because it's a two quarterback league, maybe it's a little different for me. But I feel like Russell Wilson might be a pretty good value.
I think that's a good call. Yeah.
I think especially in like two quarterback leagues, like if he's your first quarterback, I think he's going to have a bounce back year. I like the weapons he has there. Who knows? Maybe because he's lost a step with his speed and his scrambling ability, you know, maybe he's not the same guy he was. Who knows? But I think where he's going in drafts, from where I've seen he's going, he seems like he's a pretty good value to me.
Right. And who's that again?
Oh, my God. Russell Wilson?
Oh, yeah. Duh. Okay. Yeah. So He's going 10th overall on Fantasy Pros ADP.
In terms of quarterbacks.
In terms of quarterbacks.
That's a pretty good value. I think he would be a top five guy again, maybe.
I think so as well. Yeah, so you get Josh Allen at one. You get Mahomes at two. Herbert at three. Lamar Jackson at four. Kyler Murray at five. Joe Burrow at six. Wow. Dak at seven. Jalen Hurts at eight. Brady at nine.
Hurts could be a good value at eight.
Yeah, I agree. And Wilson at 10, and then you get into Stafford, Rodgers, Carr, Trey Lance. Trey Lance could make a really solid jump up this board if he starts looking good, and or if Jimmy Garoppolo gets traded.
Yeah.
He would probably jump up to like 9 or something like that. But
He could be in the top 10 this year. And I like Stafford and Carr there, especially as like quarterback twos in two quarterback leagues or super flex leagues.
Definitely.
I like those two guys there.
A lot of great depth. I would throw Cousins into that mix.
Yeah, to a lesser extent. I'd rather Stafford or Carr, but yeah, Cousins to a lesser extent, yeah.
Tua. I feel like Tua's got to succeed this year.
I mean, that's the thing. He's got to, but I mean, nothing has shown me that he definitely will. And I think that's would be my fear of taking him as my quarterback too, because even though he has the weapons, nothing has really shown me any. I've never seen, and I, you know, I've watched some games of him play. Like, I haven't seen anything that's like, oh, like this guy's, you know, like when you started
you're
to
not
see,
impressed.
Not. I mean, It's not like, you know, with like Joe Burrow or Herbert. You see these guys, and you're like, these guys are going to be studs, even if their team's not that great. I didn't see that with Tua.
Okay, well, I think he is extremely accurate.
I think
that combined with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle and now the new offensive strategy.
He's also got to stay healthy.
Yeah, that's going to bode well for them.
Yeah, and he's a guy with a lot of injury history. So,
yeah,
I think
he's not the biggest guy.
Him.
But he's so accurate, and Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle are so fast that they can work on after the catch stuff. He can throw quick short passes that can solve a little bit of that.
And he was doing that with Waddle quite a bit this last year. And, you know, for Waddle, it was great, but like there was nothing about Tua's stats that made me be like, oh, you know.
He wasn't personally a game breaker. I agree.
I mean, you might have had a game or two where it popped off this page a little bit, but.
Yeah, week 6 and 7, he did pretty well. He threw for 2 touchdowns, 329 yards at Jacksonville, and then home for Atlanta for 291 and 4 touchdowns.
So nothing like, I mean, those are really good games, but like there's guys in the league, you know, even guys we were just talking about where that's going to be more of, you know, a regular game for them.
Yep.
Tyreek Hill, I mean, that's great.
So I think
there's a little bit more risk there than with a guy like Carr or a guy like Stafford.
Okay, so then who are you aiming for? Give me both in a 10-team league and in a super flex league. Like what kind of quarterbacks?
In a 10-team league with one QB position, I like that whole area of people. I mean, I like Tua. I mean, I don't love him. I like him. Tua, Carr, Stafford.
You'd wait that long.
Russell Wilson, Hurts, all those guys, like if they're going around the same area, I'd rather wait for a quarterback and get like a running back or two running backs and a wide receiver than go quarterback. Cause I would assume they're probably going around like 4th, 5th round, maybe even later.
Let's take a look at that.
In a 10 team league, maybe even later.
Team league. Yeah, Josh Allen's going about 25. Mahomes going about 30.
So second round.
So I wouldn't go for either of those guys at those point.
I would like to fill out my roster and then maybe get one of those guys in the 5th or 6th round for my QB1.
Yeah, I start to get a little bit interested in Josh Allen probably in the 3rd round.
If Josh Allen's in the 3rd round, then yeah, I get interested. But like, I don't need to reach for any of those guys necessarily. Like I don't necessarily want Josh Allen in the 2nd round. I'd rather have 2 running backs or a running back and wide receiver before I'm picking up a quarterback.
Yeah, I definitely agree. In a 10 or 12 I think if you're in a single quarterback
12,
league,
if you're in a 10 or 12 single quarterback league, and you're picking a quarterback in the second round, I think you're doing something wrong. Or first round.
Yes, I agree with all that. Players I'm targeting and values I like personally, I seem to be gravitating towards the Dak and Jalen Hurts, and I agree with some Russell Wilson. And this is in a single quarterback league. I do think there could be some value to mine with Kyler or especially Lamar Jackson. But if it's in the right spot, maybe fifth or sixth round. Yeah, that, and then in Superflex, like, these guys are all basically first rounders, like Allen, Mahomes, Herbert, Jackson, Kyler Murray, Dak, Hurts. They're all probably first rounders in a Superflex.
Yeah,
for me, yeah, I'd
think
be
if
happy
you're in
with
a super
that.
Flex or two. Yeah, I mean, that's a different conversation. And yeah.
Well,
yeah, I think you want to get a quarterback early in a two quarterback league, but in a regular standard league with one quarterback, you can only play one quarterback. Taking him in the first two rounds, I think, even to me in the first three, unless it's like Josh Allen or, yeah, I don't know. And I don't know, like, I think Mahomes is going to be great. I don't know if he's, I don't think he's going to be the second best quarterback in fantasy. No Tyreek Hill. I think that's going to be, there's going to be some growing pains there, especially as he hasn't looked untouchable the last, you know, year or so. So, I mean, I think reaching for him might not be the best, but Josh Allen, I think he's by far and away the QB1 until someone shows otherwise.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think there's any value there drafting Mahomes number two in
where
a fourth
gonna
round.
Where he's going to go? Where he's
going to go? Quarterback league. No way. Third or fourth round? No way.
No, thank you.
Superflex, different story. He's a first rounder. I'd be thrilled to have him as one of my quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah. In a two quarterback league, you know, if you could get him in like the third round or like second, like latest second, third round in a two quarterback league, yeah, that's a good value, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Anyone else jumping out at you that you say is, oh, that's a good value, I love where they're going there, or I hate where this person's going here, I'd never take them right there?
No, I never take them. I mean, I think we kind of covered it.
Well, let me ask a specific question here. I am interested in Breece Hall. I think Breece Hall, the running back for the Jets.
You got a boner for Breece?
I mean,
a boner for Breece?
Obviously, we haven't seen him yet, but if we see him in preseason and he's electric, watch him shoot up these draft boards.
Oh, agree. Yeah, I agree. It's the Jets. I still don't know if I trust that offensive line at all. I don't think there's anything to tell me that I should. I still think Zach Wilson has some work to do. But yeah, if he's electric and he's, you know, doing really well, he'll shoot up. I just don't know if that's the best team for him right now.
No, it's a terrible team to be on. Yeah. Although I think a lot of people are expecting the Jets to take a little bit of a step forward here with Zach Wilson, and they have surrounded him with quite a bit of weapons. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, it's no Christian Kirk and Evan Ingram.
No, it isn't.
But...
what's going on over there? They're gonna ruin that kid.
They've got over there in New York, they brought in two tight ends this offseason, right? They brought in CJ Uzama and Tyler Conklin, I believe.
I mean, nothing to like get too excited about there.
I mean, but that's pretty good for a young quarterback to have two reliable guys be able to throw to. And they obviously drafted Garrett Wilson, who is supposed to be a star receiver.
Yeah.
So they got him.
And they have Elijah Moore,
who people really liked last year.
He had some great games last year with Zach Wilson.
He did. And Corey Davis as well, who's no slouch.
Corey Davis is your third wide receiver. That's not too bad. I mean, yeah, I think there's stuff to get excited there, but I'll believe it when I see it. Where is this all leading up to? Like, where is he being taken, Breece Hall?
Around 40 or so.
Oh wow!
In ADP, yeah, so like fourth round. I mean, it's kind of like,
I mean, for your so you think in a world where you're in a 12 team league with one quarterback, do you think you're taking your RB2 there in the fourth, or do you think you're maybe even going RB3, going running back, wide receiver, running back?
I've got him in some ESPN 10 team leagues that I've joined, PPR leagues. I've gotten him as my third running back in a lot of those.
Yeah, that's good value there, I think.
I mean,
that's where I would want him. That's why I'm saying, like, Breece Hall, if he was my third running back, I'd be ecstatic.
Yeah, because I agree. I'm not sure what we're going to get from him or the Jets this year. I think
he could be great.
And
I mean,
have
and
a chance
and you can't
to be really good.
Too much stock in the preseason either. Like, I mean, if he's great in the preseason, that's great. It definitely ups his value. But until I see that team be consistently good on the offensive side of the ball, I mean, there's probably other running backs in that. Who's else? What other running backs is going in that range there?
Good question, Adam. Let's get right the F into it.
Hell yeah.
Breece Hall is going at running back 21, and this is on Fantasy Pros. Actually, let me switch to PPR here. So Breece Hall is going at 22 for running backs, which is 44th overall. And he's right behind J.K. Dobbins and Josh Gibson, or Jacobs, and then Antonio Gibson. So it goes.
I would think out of the four, I'd probably want Josh Jacobs there.
Yeah.
Especially in a PPR league.
What was that?
I said yeah.
For Josh Jacobs?
Just in that grouping of running backs, running backs that you mentioned, I'd probably want Josh Jacobs in a PPR league the most.
I think that's an incorrect answer, because I think this is shaping up to be the dead zone. I think you can throw Montgomery into that, David Montgomery, and a lot of people don't know what they're getting out of him. James Conner, Cam Akers, they all have questions like that. But Breece
Hall, Akers.
I like Akers too. So
I like Montgomery too. Is this going to be your running back two or running back three in this juncture? I think if it's your running back three, I like all those guys. But yeah. I think if it's your running back two, I'd probably still, like, if it's the fourth round, are you saying this is probably around the fourth round these guys are taking?
Yeah.
I think if I don't have another running back, I'd probably have to draft them there too. But I think in this juncture, that begs the question, if we're looking at RB3s, what wide receivers are being taken in this range?
Okay, well, shit. Let's fucking pivot to look at that. So I think there is a little bit of a tier break, I would say, between James Conner, Ezekiel Elliott, Cam Akers. I feel like that's the end of a tier. And by the way, I still really like Cam Akers. I think it's unfair to have judged him on his role and his poor yards per carry average in the playoffs last year. He shouldn't even have been out there with the injury that he had. At all. He wasn't even projected to come back at all.
So what wide receivers did you say? I didn't think I listened to anything you said. I got distracted by some text messages.
Oh, well, good, because I didn't mention a single wide receiver right there.
Oh, okay, just, perfect. You're just yammering.
Yeah.
I guess I tuned out the right time.
Scam Akers, baby. So
I like him.
I like him too. So AJ Brown. Okay. Is a running back in that range.
You mean wide receiver?
Oh, sorry, wide receiver. T. Higgins is a receiver in that range.
I like those guys.
Michael Pittman Jr., Deontay Johnson.
Okay.
Then Jalen Waddle, Scary Terry McLaurin. So
I think in this situation, if we're stacking our draft here, mm-hmm. I think I'd go, unless it's like the end of the first round and there's not a elite running back there. I go running back in my first round, wide receiver in my second round, RB2 my third round, and then wide receiver two probably here. Unless
with your fourth pick.
With my fourth pick. Because I like these wide receivers that you're mentioning in this for my wide receiver two. Yeah. I think I'd really like these wide receivers here over the running backs that you mentioned.
Okay.
In terms of taking your RB3 here.
Right.
I think I'd take my wide receiver two and then maybe my RB3 in round five, then take my quarterback and then find, you know, a Freiermuth or whoever for tight end somewhere in there.
All right.
I think that's how I'd probably stack my draft in a redraft league for like 10 team or 12 team, one quarterback.
So what about something like Derrick Henry at like fifth?
Okay.
And then you come back and you get Deebo Samuel.
Okay.
And then you go for like Cam Akers or Zeke Elliott with a running back there, or do you go for Montgomery? He's there.
Okay.
Kyle Pitts and Patrick Mahomes are there. Just want to note that. So same with Justin Herbert.
I probably can't take him before. Yeah, I'd probably just go with Zeke or Akers there.
I think so too.
I think go Zeke Akers there, and then I'd probably go Waddle or
Scary Terry.
Scary Terry. I'm not too high on Scary Terry this year. I just don't like his team.
Carson Wentz, baby.
I mean, I like T. Higgins.
Yeah.
I like T. Higgins a lot.
T. Higgins
there.
Who's
A.J. Brown?
Yep.
I like
A.J.
him
Brown's
too.
Going a little bit earlier.
But yeah, well, let's say A.J. Brown falls but I think I like T. Higgins. I like for my wide receiver too. I like all those guys.
Yeah.
Because I think all those guys can be wide receiver ones.
Yeah. Yeah. Personally, I think I would love to end up with like Dalvin Cook with a first pick and then come back and get like DeAndre Swift or Joe Mixon. I've been ending up with a lot of Joe Mixon.
So you've been going RB.
I've been trying to if those guys are available. But
yeah, I guess if those guys are available, I'd maybe like that a little bit better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if I end up with a receiver in the first round, which obviously I'd take Cooper Kupp, I've taken Jamar Chase. I've taken Jefferson in the first round. I think that's fine. But then I'd, hope for Swift or Mixon on the way back, because I think there's kind of a tier break after that for running back as well. So
I think now that we've kind of shaken it out, I'd much rather have Mixon or Swift or one of those guys over Elliott or Akers or something like that. So then who would be the wide receivers that would be available there in the third?
All right, let's take a look. I can't do math, and we never promised anyone math, but
I mean, let's just say we're doing 10 team leagues.
Okay, we'll say
that
31.
Makes it a little bit easier. Yes.
T. Higgins is a receiver there. A.J. Brown is at 28. Mike Evans, like an ideal start for me, would be like that Dalvin Cook, Swift. I'm blanking on his first name, DeAndre Swift. And then Mike Evans. I really think there's some good value with Mike Evans where he's going.
Godwin's going to start the year on the shelf.
And making Evans your number one, because he's going to get peppered with targets at first. Yeah. Gronk's
I like
out
Russell,
of there.
You know who I like there too is Russell Gage.
Oh, 100%. And I think it's a decent strategy to consider drafting both of those guys if you end up with Evans, because you're kind of handcuffing him. It's kind of a brilliant handcuff, to be honest.
Because you got to think that, especially in the first couple of weeks or for however long Godwin's gone, like Gage is startable for those couple weeks with Evans.
Yes, definitely.
I mean, we've been talking about this forever. The decline of when Tom Brady is not Tom Brady anymore. Do you think that
happens? How dare you?
Do you think that happens?
No, I think this is probably his last season. I think he's sort of slowed down a little bit mentally, but he also led the league in passing yards last year.
He did.
I think he's going to set the world on fire again this year. He's going to set the league on fire. He's going to throw the ball as much as he fucking can in his last season.
Sure, sure.
I really don't think he's going to have a decline.
I mean, I don't. I'm not too worried about it either. I'm just wondering if that's something that's, you know, people are considering when thinking about going heavy on that, and you know, but I do like Evans and Gage.
Yeah,
I think the only way that'd be cool.
Yeah, yeah. The only way Brady has a decline is like maybe like 5% on like arm strength, right? He had a pretty good arm. He's always had a pretty good arm, and he's always been extremely accurate. And I don't think the accuracy would go anywhere, and I think his timing and everything, that'll still be there. So I really don't see any decline. I think he's another good bet this year for passing yard leader, because I just think he's going to be like, this is my fucking last year. Here I go. It's going to be fun, you know?
Yeah.
And Russell Gage is going around the 100 pick. He's going 104.
It's good value for him.
Yeah, I think so. When you look at who he's going around, Chase Claypool's going right behind him, who I don't see this year coming into great value there, because I just don't know what to make of the QB situation. I like Claypool the player, but I wouldn't take that shot. I'd rather go on Gage there. And honestly, Gage, you can have two wide receivers at this point if you're targeting Gage.
Yeah, I think Gage might be a little bit safer pick.
It is a safer pick.
Yeah,
the other guys, Christian Kirk, a little bit riskier. Brandon Ayuk is a little riskier. Probably more talented of a player.
I'd go with Christian Kirk over Gage.
Would you now?
I think I would.
You love Christian Kirk?
I don't love him. I just like the idea that he's going to be the number one there with the quarterback that seems to have a lot of talent. And he had a pretty good, Kirk had a pretty good year last year as like kind of the wide receiver three on that offense.
Yeah.
And then stepped in as wide receiver two when people got hurt, and had a pretty good season. I just like the idea that he's going to be a wide receiver one. And by the end of the year, Gage could be relegated down to a wide receiver three on that team. I think, whereas Claypool could also be a wide receiver one, but I think Deontay Johnson's more the one there. And I think Claypool relies on a lot of big plays, which I don't know if Trubisky's accurate enough to get to him. But I like how Kirk is more of a possession receiver. And I think he's a guy that's a little bit more of a safer pick than Claypool. I think Claypool's like a little bit sexier there. But I think out of all those guys, I think if I would have to go with Christian Kirk over Gage for sure.
Yeah, if I've already got like four wide receivers at this point and I'm going back dipping back into that well, then you know I'm taking a big shot on like Drake London or Treylon Burks, or Ayuk is kind of a big swing, but there's risk there. But when I'm finding myself ending up with Russell Gage or Christian Kirk is when they're my third receiver, and I've gotten two really high end ones like Evans and Jamar Chase, and then I've punted the position for several rounds, you know.
Yeah. No, I like that. I like that strategy.
Maybe fourth.
I think. No, I'm saying like, yeah, that's a really, really kind of good area to get your, that's your fourth or fifth wide receiver. I like that. I think those guys could have some good value. A lot of those guys. It's not bad. But you know what? I did feel like last year going into the draft, I felt like, oh, wide receiver, such a deep position. And then once I got to it, I was like, wait, these are the guys that are there? So like, because you do fall in love with getting those two really good running backs to start your draft and redraft leagues. So, and then I think like there's guys that pop up there, like at tight end or at quarterback or something. You're like, oh, this guy's there. Maybe I should get in. And then before you know it, you're like, your wide receiver's one's fringe. And like all of a sudden these guys start becoming your wide receiver twos or threes. I'd much rather have them as four or fives, but I would be really excited about that 4 or 5. I think if these guys are your wide receiver 3, maybe that could be okay, but I wouldn't be too excited about it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And
well, I guess what I'm saying is don't get tempted by the quarterback or tight end in those like first 4 or 5 rounds if you don't need to be.
I'm much more likely to go tight end early or quarterback early when in a 10-team league or a 12 or even a 12-team league, even if it's single quarterback. But I actually definitely 10. Like I will sometimes use my first 5 picks on 2 running backs, 2 receivers, a quarterback, and a tight end. Just to have, or maybe the flex I'd get before the quarterback and tight end, just to sort of use all of my value on studs, you know, to the best of my ability in a league like that, because those leagues always come down to stud lineups, those 10 team leagues, especially 12s, you know, that are a little deeper, maybe like, you know, definitely not talking about our league, but a 12 with a little bit more depth, I would have a different approach.
Sure. I agree with that. Like, I don't think I'm in any 10-team leagues anymore. I don't do any 10-team leagues, so I don't think I've done that in a while. So I think I would agree with you in that strategy of, like, filling out your roster and, like, having what's so funny?
I've drafted, like, 20 of those teams so far this
do you want to do a quick 10 team league after we do this? Do a quick 10 team league draft?
That'd be pretty fun. I might do it on my phone, but yes, I'm up for that for sure.
Okay, yeah, we'll do it after this pod. But I agree with that strategy, because I guess that's what I used to do, is like you fill out your roster and then you start building depth, because you can start, everything happens so much earlier. Like, you're sitting there and you're like 6th pick and you're like, holy shit, this guy's still available.
Right. Yeah. Those 10 team leagues, yeah, there's some good value there, and staying fluid, I think, is a good way to.
Sure.
To go,
but
there,
I think setting up your 12 team leagues or your deeper leagues, setting them up this way that we're talking about, where it's like running back 1, first round, running back 2, second round. I mean, obviously it depends on where you draft. Like if you draft a little bit later in the first round, maybe you take a wide receiver there.
Right.
But really filling out your RB1, RB2 by the 3rd round, and then stacking up on wide receivers, and then starting to look at quarterback and then tight end, and then, you know, even more depth. Because you were you said Gage was at like 100 or something, like these wide receivers. So that's what, your, you know, 8th, 9th, 10th pick?
Yeah.
That's not bad, especially if you've already taken 2 or 3 wide receivers before that.
Yeah, it's just not sexy, you know. It's just
but
you kind of know what you're getting.
Your wide receiver 4 is not going to usually be a sexy player. I mean, I would say all of those guys you were mentioning could be wide receiver 3s and 2s.
Right. Well, or could eventually be that. I agree.
Yes.
But I mean, you've got rookie receivers in that range that could really explode and outproduce like Russell Gage, but the risk is much greater. It really depends on what
Who are you thinking there?
Drake London is around that area. Treylon Burks is around that area.
Yeah. It's just hard to, like, unless it's your wide receiver 4 or 5 there in that area, it's hard to really get excited about rookie wide receiver when, especially over the guys you mentioned.
I pretty much take a shot every draft on one rookie wide receiver.
Yeah.
And it's a pick that I know I can burn.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need this pick.
Yeah.
I don't really need this pick to hit.
We'll
see what happens. It is worth the risk. Yeah. At some point in your draft, when you're looking at your like 5th receiver, it's like Chris Olave. Yes. I want to take this pick here.
Chris Olave. Yeah. Sign me up.
Yeah, I think he's pretty interesting as far as rookie receivers go. Garrett Wilson is also interesting, I would have to say. Those guys are later. You know, they're later than the dudes we were talking about, Russell Gage and things like that. And our boy, as aforementioned on these airwaves months ago, Rashad Bateman is going just a little bit ahead of those guys we were talking about earlier.
I like Bateman.
So I like him too. I like him as a three potentially, as a wide receiver three. I like that flex option. I think he's going to be solid without Hollywood Brown in town. And Tyler Lockett is going right in that same range too, who I am not targeting this season because of the quarterback situation in Seattle.
Yeah. It's those guys. I mean, I love those guys, but with Drew Lock as their quarterback, I mean, you'd have to get a value on them to the point where you're like, oh, well, if they're still available, I guess I'd take them. Because they're great talents. I mean, I just, the quarterback play there, I'm just not excited about. Unless you're in, you know, a keeper league and you're thinking, hey, maybe we'll have to endure a year of this wide receiver with Drew Lock, and then all of a sudden next year they get somebody that you get excited about and you're like, oh, now it's a good value for these guys. If a keeper dynasty, some sort of situation.
Right. And since we're doing sort of a roundup here, Adam, a value roundup, that's a good title name.
Maybe. Value roundup. Yeah, write that down.
Yeah, value roundup.
Tattoo that on your arm.
Tight end is a position that, as we discussed, I would be much more willing to take a shot earlier in the draft in a 10-team league because of the reasons we discussed. I do think you can wait. You can wait a while. I've found myself waiting around for Dallas Goedert a lot. I find myself targeting Zach Ertz a lot, and those are going in like the eighth or ninth round. I would like to get a tight end in that range, and I'd like to get one of those guys probably. I've ended up with TJ Hawkinson when I feel like the value has been right there. And this is in a 10-team league pretty much. So I like those guys.
I like Gutter. I like, was it Schultz on Dallas?
You like Schultz?
Yeah, I like him. I like Freiermuth.
I'm not a Schultz guy.
You're not a Schultz guy.
Not a Schultz guy.
Okay.
Because I fucking had him in Dynasty. I fucking had him before he broke out. And then I had him for like a season when Jarwin was hurt.
Oh, so it's personal. This is personal.
It is definitely personal. Okay. I had him.
I'm glad that you eventually said this disclaimer besides being like, I'm not a Schultz guy. Because then people would think you're low on Schultz. You're low on him because he performed well.
This guy's a fucking asshole. Yeah, he missed the season 2 seasons ago, and Jarwin was the starter, and then Jarwin missed the season.
You're a Jarwin truther.
I'm a real Jarwin head. and then Schultz stepped in and performed well, and I picked him up and had him as my starter that season. However, I let him go the following offseason because I expected Blake Jarwin to reclaim his role, and he fucking has it.
Yeah, I like Schultz. I like Freiermuth. I like the guy. I'm not gonna even try to pronounce his name in Denver.
Akui Bunim.
Yeah, there you go. I like him. Because I feel like all those guys are probably going around in that range there.
Those guys are going late.
Late.
Real late. Albert O is going tight end 18, pick 161.
Wow. I like that value.
Way the fuck down there. But like, would you feel comfortable drafting him and
as my tight end one?
See, si, senor.
I would have to draft two tight ends in that range, which I probably would do if I'm looking at those guys anyway. I think that's a range where I just take two in a row because I've obviously stacked up my roster enough to where I feel comfortable taking two tight ends in a row there, or close to each other. I like those talents there at that, and having two of them and seeing which ones pan out, or just playing the matchups week to week, which I know people do, which can be kind of frustrating, but I like those guys in those ranges there. If I'm going to take one of those guys, I'm going to take another one.
Well, I agree. I agree with the strategy. Take two if your league is deep enough to roster two of those guys. If not, they'll probably be on the waiver wire anyway.
Sure.
So you can just drop and swap after week one.
There will be usable guys that you can get off the waiver wire for sure.
Yes. Someone from the important thing to know is that someone from this group will break out in a major way.
Sure.
We don't know who it is. There's like 12 tight ends. It could be, I would say.
I like Gesicki too.
I mean, it might be more than one as well. So yeah, let's go over this real quick. Kelce is going round two, early round two.
It's early, too early for me.
A little early for me, but I would probably take him in round two in a PPR.
I mean, he could have a little uptick in production with
for sure
with Tyreek Hill gone.
Yeah, definitely in a 10-team league. Again, I would target those guys when I felt the value was good. Same thing with Andrews. Kyle Pitts, I think the value meter in my personal world is off on that. I like Kyle Pitts. I'm definitely interested in taking him, but he's going way too early.
Yeah, but with Mariota, that's a little early for
me. He's going like a round or two too early for me. He's going around the middle of the third round or fourth round.
No, thank you.
35.
No, thank you.
George Kittle, I'm not really interested in this year either, where he's going. I like the player, but if he slips to like the sixth or seventh, I'd be interested, I think. I'm a little worried about
people are a little low on him. He had some monster games last year.
He's a monster. I'm worried about the pecking order in San Francisco. Debo wants to be a receiver, and we've got this quarterback change. Trey Lance is stepping in as quarterback, and he doesn't throw as much. So there's literally going to be less targets to go around for these guys.
Yeah, and I think Ayuk is going to get some targets too. I think, I agree with that, but I think he all of a sudden, because of that, might stumble into a little bit of a value pick if people hold off long enough, and then all of a sudden he's sitting there for you and you're like, this is a good value.
Possible. I hope that happens.
Because, I mean, obviously he's great when he's healthy. Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
And he could be the safety valve. I mean, he could be a safety valve for Trey Lance. Who knows?
He could. I don't expect him to return value though at that pick 43 in the fourth round.
I wouldn't take him. I probably wouldn't take him there.
No. Waller though is going right around that same area. I would say I'm more likely to take Waller, but I would probably wait on that too.
I feel like he's a guy that's slipping a lot because obviously Davante Adams there. Obviously he had an injury filled last year and, you know, didn't live up to his expectations last year. The one thing I will say is now with Josh McDaniel there, remember who was a big focal point in that offense with Josh McDaniels in New England, the tight end. And you know, I think if they get back to that, and I think the addition of Davante Adams actually takes a little pressure off of Waller. I feel like last year, even when Waller was healthy, he was getting double teamed and he was the focal point for the defense. He's no longer going to be that. And I think that's where Renfro might get some, because I know Renfro's falling because of Davante Adams too, who was a big focal point of that New England Patriots offense, the slot guy, Wes Welker, you know, like if they're going to run it like that, or if he's going to, you know, I think these guys have some value and I think they're slipping because of Davante Adams. Whereas I think maybe Davante Adams' value, I think it definitely isn't obviously as high as it is in Green Bay, but I think he might not be the top wide receiver or even top five wide receivers this year in fantasy.
Yeah, I would say probably fifth in that range. I'm probably not taking him. I'm pivoting to other guys in drafts, but I love him. I mean, the guy's awesome.
I like all three of these guys where they're going for the most part.
Yeah, and I think he's going to get peppered with targets. I think he's worth a second round pick.
Absolutely. And first round, I don't think so. I'd rather take Justin Jefferson or Cooper Kupp or, you know, any of those guys. But I think he's the one that's not really being devalued too much. It's these two other two guys. And I think that gives them, you know, where they're being taken, a nice little value, probably Hunter Renfro the most.
Maybe. Interesting points. Okay. So Waller's fifth and then Schultz, the aforementioned Schultz is six.
I think that's a little high for him.
Yeah, I mean,
he might be overhyped a little bit. He's not to your point, because your point is based purely in personal spite.
He also suffers from the cool name disease. Like, I don't know. His last Dalton name just Schultz. Doesn't seem like, yeah. I don't know. He sounds
Dalton's
like a dork.
Kind of a cool name, I guess.
It's okay, but Schultz, I feel like I don't even really Schultz. Understand. Like, yeah. Okay. I misspell it.
Another wild reason not to like this guy. That is based nothing on talent or
Blake
or
Jarwin. That name sounds like, this guy's going to be a stud.
Stop with that. I agree. I think Schultz also, at that point is a little high for me. Like, wherever he's being drafted, like if he's being drafted pretty early, like, I think that's a little high for me.
Yeah, he's honest. Going around 65.
I do
he's
love
going behind Hockenson.
I do love CeeDee Lamb though.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know why we're assuming Schultz is going to be the second target or whatever in this offense. Like, I think he's being drafted as like the second target.
Yeah, I think he's getting a little overhyped. I've seen him a lot on quite a few little hype articles about like, the next tight end to break out. But yeah, keep going because I'd like to hear who's after
And Blake
Schultz.
Jarwin isn't even on this ADP. Well,
his name's too cool.
Sorry. Just kidding. And then Goedert and Ertz are going after Hockenson. And again, those are the guys I really like. And that's the value I think is really good. I think both of those guys are in good positions this season to deliver better value than that, than where they're being drafted. And then I think you get into a mix of player that we were talking about before, the tight ends, where some of these guys we know are going to break out, like at least one of them. For me, there's like 14 guys it could be, and if I'm missing on Ertz or Goddard, then I am probably going to take two of these dudes.
Yeah.
And so let me just read him real quick.
I'm not too excited about Ertz, to be honest.
Really? Why not?
I mean,
are you an asshole?
I mean, he wasn't like, because he was on Arizona for how many weeks last year? Like 4 or 5 weeks.
Christ, let me pull it up.
But I mean, there was nothing exciting about it. Like, I didn't like.
He did well.
He did okay.
The fuck's your problem?
I rather wait off and take two of the guys that are being drafted a little bit later than draft Ertz at that spot. I think what I'm saying.
He had double digit points his last four games with Arizona. Yeah. 6 for 70, 6 for 74, 8 for 54, 7 for 41, 7 for 84.
Okay.
You're telling me he's not going to be peppered with 11, 13, 9, 10 targets? You're telling me he's not going to deliver value, especially when DeAndre Hopkins is out to start the season?
I like Rondale Moore there.
Rondale Moore in the eighth round? What the fuck's your problem?
No, I'm just saying.
Oh, like, in Arizona.
In Arizona. I think he's the guy I'm probably most excited about. I think Ertz, but I just don't. I think the guys that are drafting a little bit later have potential to be better than that, is all I'm saying.
Whereas
I think what you just mentioned is Ertz's ceiling in Arizona.
Yes, but if he were to get that for the entire season, he'd be like a top six or five
just,
tight end.
Yeah, I just don't think that's going to happen. I think he'll be pretty consistent, and he'll be averaging between 8 and 12 fantasy points, which is great. It's fine. But with where he's being drafted, I'd rather take a risk and draft those other guys a little bit later, because I think those guys are guys that can average between, 12 and 15 maybe.
Maybe. I don't. So all those stat lines that I read had no touchdowns associated with it.
Of course not.
Ertz can score touchdowns. It's possible. It's legal for him to cross the goal line.
But I mean, you're kind of proving my point here.
If that guy scores 6 touchdowns and puts up those numbers per week, you sprinkle through those 6 touchdowns, which is
best case scenario.
Conservative.
That's very, very best case scenario.
I don't see it that way. I see that as likely if he stays healthy. I see those numbers as likely.
So I think what we have here is the fact that you believe more in Ertz, and you'd probably take him in that range, and I probably wouldn't.
Yeah. Yeah, I like him. Goddard, you like Goddard better than Ertz?
There's nothing from last year that showed me why I should.
Oh, fuck you.
I think he has a little bit more upside, but I think he's a little bit more of a risk. I will say that.
Okay.
In that range.
Okay. All right. Well, let me read some of his stat lines from last season. Week 13, 6 catches, 105 yards, 2 touchdowns on 6 targets from ya boy, Jalen Hurts. Or actually, yeah, that might have been a Gardner Minshew game. Gardner Minshew loved Goddard last year.
Oh, yeah. He had a couple of big games with him.
He did, actually. I think these games are both with both of his biggest stat lines of the season were with Gardner Minshew, I think. The following week in Washington, week 15, or home for Washington, 7 catches, 135 yards, 9 targets. I mean, Goddard, we know he's really talented. He was drafted early. That Washington one was a Hurts game, so I just checked that out.
Okay.
So let the record
show. Yeah, like I said, his upside is greater than Ertz, but he might not be as consistent.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I think that's fair.
And I think you, in Arizona, you didn't put anybody into that offense that could potentially take away from Ertz. In fact, you got rid of Kirk.
True. So, and they got Marquise Brown. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got Marquise Keith Brown. You got rid of Kirk. So, and then, but you don't have Hopkins to start the year. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I forgot about Marquise Brown. Okay. That could cut, but Marquise Brown's a completely different player. I would say Kirk would be stealing more targets away from Ertz than Marquise Brown would.
I think you're right. More short area targets.
Whereas Eagles got a brand new wide receiver one who's one of the top wide receivers talent-wise in the game. I just don't know what's going to be going on there. I think you have a little bit more of a shift in the way that offense works. So it could be good for Goddard. Like, he might become that number two option there and be, you know, who knows? But
yeah,
I think Ertz is a safer pick once again, and I think Goddard definitely has more upside.
Okay, that's fair. All right, let's before we get out of here, let's read this list of tight ends, and I want to kind of just go through the guys I'm targeting. Now, again, I think this is a big list. There's like 12 or 14 names or something like that. I personally don't see much difference between any of these guys. Okay, here they are. Dawson Knox, Pat Freiermuth, Mike Gesicki, Cole Kmet, Irv Smith Jr., Hunter Henry, Noah Fant, Robert Tonyan, Albert Akui-Bunam, the aforementioned, David Njoku, Evan Ingram, Gerald Everett, then Logan Thomas. I don't know if he's going to be healthy. Cameron Brate without Gronk, I suppose, is interesting. He could break out. Austin Hooper, people have been saying he's going to be the number one or number two target in Tennessee, potentially three. I guess Robert Woods is looking good over there. And then you get Hayden Hurst, Tyler Higbee. So, yeah, I mean, it's a pretty big group. I think Gesicki was pretty good last year. I liked him. I would like to own him. I would like for him to be one of my two, if possible.
I think I like in terms of talent, in terms of like who I think is probably the best tight end there, probably Freiermuth. I'd probably be most excited about it. But, you know, obviously we don't know what we're going to get with Mitchell Trubisky there. But I do like the fact that he's a big target. I think, you know, so is Claypool. But I think maybe Freiermuth becomes Trubisky's, you know, safety valve there. So that could be, you know, something interesting. But, yeah, I don't love the situation. Akui-Bunam, or is that his name? Akui-Bunam?
Yep. Yeah.
The Denver aforementioned. Yeah, I like him.
Yeah. Could be a real Julius Thomas type resurgence.
Yeah, sure. I think I mean, who else? Go through the list again one more time.
Okay, one more time. Dawson Knox, Pratt, and they're in order of rank.
Yeah, I'm not too excited about Dawson Knox. I don't know.
Yeah, they brought in, who did they bring in? O.J. Howard?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dawson Knox, Pat Freiermuth, Mike Gesicki, Cole Kmet.
I like Gesicki. I think Gesicki.
I like him.
Yeah, he had some good games last year with Tua.
He did. Tua seemed to like targeting him. Yeah.
Cole Kmet, I need to see some sort of chemistry with Fields and him before I get excited or even want to draft him.
Right. Irv Smith Jr. in Minnesota.
I think I like him. I think there could be some potential there. I think he's shown flashes, and I like the situation there, especially with Thielen, another year older.
I think it's fair to also assume that Thielen, might take a step back physically this season again. So, I'm interested in Irv Smith. Yeah.
I like him there. I think that's good value. Okay. Keep going.
Hunter Henry, Noah Fant, Robert Tonyan.
Tonyan. Tonyan could be with, who knows who Rodgers has a throw to, and there is a rapport there. So Tonyan could be a sneaky value there.
It's true. Fant in Seattle. I kind of feel the same way. I think there's possibility. I just would see it being too inconsistent if Drew Lock or Geno Smith are his quarterback.
I mean, we've already seen him with Drew Lock. It's whatever.
Well, Fant is a hell of a talent, though. Let the record show.
He is. And now he actually, he has some established wide receivers that will take some attention away from him. So who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah, you just can't get too excited with Fant. I mean, with Lock.
Yes. David Njoku, I think, could be an interesting target. Obviously, we're still waiting to see what's going to happen with the Deshaun Watson suspension in Cleveland. But David Njoku has a good shot to lead tight ends in targets, at least, in Cleveland. Evan Ingram. Gerald Everett is in Los Angeles now with the Chargers.
Everett might be a guy. Yeah, I think the other three guys that you're talking about, not too interested, but Everett in that position, like obviously if you're taking two of these guys, I think he's a guy that could pop or at least be good in matchup situations. You gotta love that offense and the quarterback situation. So, Keenan Allen's another year older.
Yep.
And he's being banged up quite a bit every year. So,
and Everett's kind of a beast.
He is good. He's solid.
Yeah, he's a good player. He's only 28. So he's really entering his prime. And now he's the lead tight end over there in LA.
I like that situation.
You got to like it. Jared Cook had a decent season last year. And we know Cook isn't special talent. but I think Everett really is. Everett really is a special talent. So, he is one of those guys I'm targeting for sure. Ingram, I think, is a little bit interesting. Again, Njoku, a little bit interesting. All these guys, I'm like, whatever. If I end up with them, that's fine with me.
Yeah. I think if you're looking at this situation as either drafting two of these guys, or if, you're getting to that point in the draft, you're like, I'm pretty deep at running back, I'm pretty deep at wide receiver, and you're looking at your tight end too. I think all the guys that we mentioned that we're excited about, I would like in that scenario.
Too bad. Some of them have some great upside.
Sure.
I'll say.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, because there's been years where the first five, or so tight ends were like the only guys you could count on for any sort of real production. But I think these guys are guys that could be, especially if you pair them with another one where you can get some decent value.
Yeah. And if your league is too shallow, then just take one and worry about it after the first week or something. Yeah.
Pay attention to the waiver wire in that situation and seeing if there's any guys that are looking like, they have a first good couple of weeks, maybe picking them up if you have a guy that gets injured or something like that.
There will be some breakouts who we're not drafting, I'm sure of as well.
Absolutely.
But a lot of these guys, a lot of the tight ends, like they tend to break out for like, it's like a 6 week run, and then like they're done or whatever, they get hurt or someone else comes back from injury or something like that. So it's a short time span that I'm looking for. That's why I'm really interested in Ertz and where he goes, because again, you're kind of like, you get 6 weeks out of someone without Hopkins in the case of Ertz. Like, give me that, because I don't know who's going to be healthy in week seven.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I think what we're saying is there's a path to having production in your tight end spot, no matter what you do. But some of it will bank on luck and guys popping, and then also just paying attention to who's on the waiver wire and who looks like they might have a breakout season after the first couple weeks or the first 2 weeks.
Yep. Someone's targeted a lot or in the red zone, end zone. There you go. That's your guy. Watch those games closely too. Watch red zone or the actual game, because that's the only way you're going to really be able to see it.
I mean,
some of the stuff you don't see in the box score.
It's important. It's a big, I mean, I obviously, you know, will watch the Bears, you know, they usually play 10 a.m. Or, you know, 1 a.m. or 1 p.m. where you guys are at. Right. And, you know, the second set of games, I'm just popping on red zone, or whenever the Bears aren't playing, I'm popping on red zone and just kind of seeing these players and how they play, or I'll watch a game that's a good game or something like that, and seeing these good teams play and like these guys are the third wide receiver or the backup tight end or whatever. You can learn a lot. And I think it's important to watch the games and not just rely on the numbers.
And you'll learn like the trends that the teams use, like who they're targeting in the end zone. Like they could be the tight end too. Like you'll be able to predict sort of roster movement, depth chart maneuvering weeks ahead of it. You know, if you've got an eye for that. So, all right, everyone. Well, this has been a great talk today. I feel like probably one of our most like legit coherent, helpful episodes ever. Definitely pretty coherent overall. We went through a lot of players. God, we must have mentioned 100,000 players today.
Yeah, did we break a world record? Can we send this in?
I don't know. I can search for that.
Okay, good.
Well, thanks a lot, everybody. Happy drafting season. We'll be back soon to talk more.